Our next topic was management of HER2-positive metastatic disease. And to begin, we presented the case of a 78-year-old frail patient with de novo ER-positive HER2-positive breast cancer and asymptomatic lung metastases. The majority of the audience and faculty would not utilize chemotherapy, choosing instead endocrine treatment in combination with either trastuzumab or trastuzumab and pertuzumab. Dr. Burstein began the discussion.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, Neil Love cases are not the demographic of cancer in the real world. Dennis Slamon showed 30-plus years ago that, you know, the classic phenotype for HER2-positive disease was young women with non-screen-detected cancer. So to have a 78-year-old with a de novo ER-positive, HER2-positive cancer can happen, but it's not that common. Having said that, I mean, the key word is frail, because if they're not frail, then the standard of care is chemotherapy plus trastuzumab plus pertuzumab. We have a survival benefit for that regimen, and you wouldn't want to deviate from that as their initial therapy. We would all give chemo, trastuzumab, pertuzumab, peel off the chemo at some point after a response and introduce endocrine therapy. So the question is, can you dodge the chemo piece? And I think we would all be tempted to, and there are now data that this regimen can be effective with endocrine agents and trastuzumab and pertuzumab. Whether it's as effective as chemotherapy, I think is still an open question, but I assume that what we're being clued to here is that we really have good reason not to give chemo. This is the patient who comes in, her son's pushing her in the wheelchair, and you're not going to want to give her paclitaxel every week or something like that.
This next one, Sarah, was kind of surprising to me. A patient who gets TCHP neoadjuvantly, has residual disease, gets a year of trastuzumab, pertuzumab, and then in the first scenario, 4 months later, develops metastatic disease. Everybody goes with T-DM1, and that didn't surprise me. But what was kind of interesting is how many people go for T-DM1, even if it's 18 months later. I kind of feel like when we've asked this in the past, people are more answering like Mark did, which is, you know, going back to, you know, sort of chemo, trastuzumab, pertuzumab. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I think the way that Mark responded is absolutely appropriate, I think. However, my two thinking points were toxicity, and this woman has just gone through chemo and her hair has just grown back, and I'd really like to use an agent that helps preserve her quality of life since she now has incurable disease. And the other point is, most clinical trials of really exciting agents are requiring that the patient has progressed on T-DM1. So it colors my point of view, actually. I want this patient whose disease is clearly at some point resistant to the chemo, trastuzumab, pertuzumab. I expect she'll progress on that. I'd like to give her T-DM1, give her some quality of life, and make her ready for a clinical trial of tucatinib or DS-821 or one of these other agents.